Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Good morning, everybody. Cold Saturday morning in the Delaware Valley, along with my pal Ray Dinger. I'm Glenn Mack now, taking you up to 1 o'clock today. So much to talk about. Eagles season unfortunately ended last weekend, but we have a lot of postmortem and a lot of looking ahead. We have a couple of very good, fun, special guests joining us today. We have a good theme for our Scheib Sports this week in Philadelphia sports history. A lot going on what we're watching. But Ray Dinger, I believe we are compelled today to open with the Sixers.
Oh, okay.
By the way, how was your walk over this morning?
Brisk.
Oh yeah,
I did it in record time. I think I wanted to. From the time I left my front door to I got to the front door here, I was moving pretty quickly.
That's good. A little cardio for you.
Yeah, it's okay. but it's cold out. Not windy, thank goodness. But it's if you haven't gone out to get the paper yet, or if you haven't gone out to make that coffee run this morning, dress warmly. It's cold.
All right. And by the way, I left out. At some point in this hour, we got to just flay the Flyers. Ooh, that was onomatopoeic, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
Okay, but I want to open with the Sixers, then we'll get to the Eagles, because the Sixers lose last night. They have a 24-point lead at home against a sub-500 LA Clippers, who are missing some of their better players. They have the Sixers have an 11-point lead going into the fourth, and they blow it. Offense goes cold, defense goes soft, terrible loss, reminiscent of some of last year's playoff losses. And by the way, Ray, Joel Embiid with 40 points to go along with 13 rebounds. 90 points in his last two games, they split.
Yeah, just another night at the office.
Unbelievable. Last night after the game, Doc Rivers is asked, hey, well, you know what? I think the question is on this cut. So we'll play the question from a young reporter there and then Doc Rivers' answer. Here you go.
What part of this loss would you attribute to coaching?
I don't know. Would you ask Pop that question? No, you wouldn't. So don't ask me that question. I've earned that.
Ray, did I hear that correctly from Doc Rivers? Don't ask me that question. I've earned that, comparing himself to Greg Popovich. By the way, Ray, Greg Popovich, 5 NBA titles, 3-time coach of the year, won a gold, Olympic gold medal. Doc, 12 years ago in Boston, got a ring.
Right.
Okay. Your response.
Uncalled for. Beneath him. It's a valid question to ask, you know. And I don't think when he frames it in the context of Greg Popovich, it's not that he's saying that he has comparable accomplishment or he has as many rings. I don't think that's it. I think what he's saying to the reporter is, you wouldn't ask Greg Popovich that question because you know he'd bite your head off. You're asking me that question because you think I'm a nice guy who's just going to do what you want me to do, which is roll over.
Oh, okay. I definitely take it differently. I think he asked, like, you know, my credentials are such that you don't second guess what I do.
I think it's you know, you wouldn't have the guts to ask Greg Popovich that because you know what he would say to you. So don't try to take advantage of me because you think I'm a nice guy. Okay. That's how I take it.
So I see it. You see it that, hey, I'm a tough guy. Don't even try it. And I see it that, hey, I'm above reproach. Don't try it. Either way, I don't think it's good. It doesn't work either way to me.
No. Me either. I mean, I'm not trying to absolve him or defend him or anything. It's just, you know, it's uncalled for. It's a reporter doing his job, and you're taking issue with the fact that he's doing his job. And that's, you know, to me, that's, if you're a coach, somebody asks you a question like that, you have two choices as the coach. You can fall on the sword and say, yeah, you know what, this probably is on the coach. You know, you blow a 24-point lead late in the game. It's fair to criticize the coaching. You could do that and try and absolve your players a little bit. Or you could say, all right, you know, let's talk about that. You know, what would you have rather had me do differently? What would I have done differently? And have the conversation, you know, just say, basically say, I don't agree with you, but yeah. Okay, let's talk about it.
Yeah, give me a specific. Yeah. The specific I would give is like, they seem, anytime the other team goes into a zone defense, the Sixers seem completely lost, which to me partly falls on a coach.
Right. So, I mean, okay, let's have that discussion. You know, you're either going to go along with it and take the fall because you're going to protect your players, which a lot of coaches would choose to do, or if you really disagree with it, all right, you tell me, where do you think the coaching fell short? And we'll talk about it. And what are your points? And I'll try and answer them. But to do this, which is just basically get out of my face, is, to me, unprofessional.
Yeah, see, and I think he's being condescending because it reminds me last year of the playoffs when they were blowing those leads to Atlanta. First of all, he's got a history of blowing leads. This team has a recent history of blowing big leads. So any question revolving around why do you keep blowing big leads to me is fair. If it's the coaching part of it, it's a fair question. But he played this act last year during the series against Atlanta, when he was asked, like, you know, do you think maybe in a close game you might want to take Ben Simmons out at the end because they're just playing, you know, hack-a-shack with Ben or hack-a-Ben or whatever you want to call it. They're just fouling Ben. And he just, if you remember, he gave the, you don't know basketball, I know basketball.
Yeah.
He gave that. And I feel he's doing that. I think he's very thin-skinned. And I think they're blowing a lot of leads, and it's very frustrating. We'll get into that more. Derek Bodner, who's one of the sharpest basketball minds around this town, is going to join us at 11, and we'll deep dive into that.
Mm-hmm.
Now I need the astute brain of Ray Dinger, football man.
Oh, okay.
Ray, between you and I, can you explain to me that how and why Jonathan Gannon is apparently the hottest candidate for head coach out there? Denver's interested. Jacksonville. Everybody's looking at him. Hotter than Brian Flores, who got fired after a good job at Miami. Hotter than Doug Peterson, who won a Super Bowl. We lived with Jonathan Gannon for a year. I mean, I get he worked within limitations. I understand sometimes what he was trying to do. I think the defense improved. But how in the world is he now hot head coach material?
He's been in the conversation now for a while. I mean, he was a guy that a lot of people were talking about last offseason. Not necessarily as head coach, but everybody was saying, oh, yeah, here comes the next great young defensive coordinator. In fact, Jeff Lurie, when they hired him, Jeff Lurie made that point. That
I know.
There was so much talk about, I kept hearing about Jonathan Gannon. I feel like we're really lucky to get him. So
that's Jeff Lurie.
Mm-hmm. No, that was out there. I could tell you for a fact
it's
out there.
I know, but did you see anything this year that elevated his status that, hey, he's not just a great candidate for defense coordinator. This guy's the next Vince Lombardi.
Well, I don't think anybody's saying that.
Well, I'm stretching a point to make a point, Ray.
Yeah, well, you don't have
every
to stretch
team that's got
point.
A coaching opening, it's like, yeah, they're going to fly in. There's a Denver's, right, is flying in to mm-hmm. interview Jonathan Gannon
mm-hmm.
again.
Mm-hmm.
What am I missing? I watched the Eagles this year. You watched them this year.
Right.
Did you think he did I'm not saying he did a terrible job, okay? They won 9 games, and he was part of that.
Right.
But did you see anything this year that you would say, oh, this guy's got to be hired as a head coach?
No. But but there is the fact that his numbers aren't bad. You know, and I think that's what the people are looking at. I mean, they were a top 10 defense. And people are, you know, seriously.
I heard a really smart guy who said it depends what numbers you look at.
Well, that's how I feel. But
well,
I mean,
that
the
was the smart guy I was referring to.
Oh, okay.
I heard you earlier this week on the same issue say, hey, look at what happened in the red zone. That's a big stat. And
yeah.
So when I was referring to a really smart guy, right?
Oh, see, I missed that
now
entirely.
You're arguing with yourself.
I've never been referred to as a really smart guy, so you caught me unawares there. But that's your point. I mean, his raw numbers, if you just look at overall defense, their ranking, they're not bad. They were top 10. And people will look at that. They'll look at the improvement that the team made this year from 4 wins to 9 wins, the fact that they did finish in the top 10 overall defense, the fact that you look at the personnel – and you say, he didn't have a whole heck of a lot to work with there, and they were top 10 defense. I mean, all of that stuff is out there, and all of that stuff generates some conversation. Plus, the fact he's a young guy who has a good, you know, who has good word of mouth around the league.
Yeah,
and so everybody wants to explore it and kind of just sit down with him and pick his brain. Now, I would say on the other side, those of us that watch this team all year, we have seen the shortcomings here. And those are in the statistics too. If you care to go there, I mean, you just kind of alluded to them, but I mentioned it when I was with Angelo this week. They were 23rd in the league on third down. They're 29th in the league in the red zone. They had 16 takeaways in a 17-game season. They had 29 sacks, and only one team in the league had fewer, and that was Atlanta. And of those 29 sacks, 6 of them came in the game against pitiful Detroit. So, I mean, those are the numbers I look at. I mean, the overall numbers, you look at them, you say, that's not bad. But I look at these numbers, and to me it sort of points to where I thought that the coaching fell short.
Okay. You know what else I look at? I look at the Tampa game, and I look at it this way. And they weren't going to win that game. We hoped they would stay close. It didn't. It falls as much on the offense as the defense, if not more. But here's kind of my thought. Tom Brady's going to probably beat you, but if you're going to try to have Tom Brady beat you, probably the best thing to do is just have that soft bend but don't break. Let's stay back in these conservative zones and just let him keep throwing underneath all day. Because the whole Jonathan Gannon theory, as I understood it this year, was let's make the other team try to have a 15-play drive down the field because sooner or later they're going to make a mistake, and that way the drive will die.
Correct.
We'll just keep giving them 7-8 yards at a pop, and eventually they'll make a mistake. I don't like that strategy against Tom Brady. That may work against Tyler Heinicke. It may work against some other guys better than Heinicke, but it's not going to work against Brady, and it was a terrible game plan that he brought into that game.
You could make that statement kind of whenever they played a really good quarterback. I mean, really good quarterbacks. I mean, we talked about the passer rating
among those guys has got to be about 110.
It's higher. And their completion percentage was around 80. And that's the problem. I mean, they had some real success against some of the lesser quarterbacks, the guys you played in the second half of the year. But no, you're not going to be successful playing that way against the top guys. The idea of Jonathan Gannon, I'm taking away the big play. You know, you're not going to beat me with the big play. We're not giving up the 40, 50 yard chunk. We're just not going to do that. We're going to make you move the ball down the field. Well, you get against a guy like Brady. Brady says, "Okay, I'll take that. I don't need to throw it 60 yards. You know, I'll just throw my eights, nines, and tens, and I'll just control the ball and win the game that way." If you look at the two games, I actually went back and looked this up. The two games that Brady played, and okay, people are going to say, "Well, it's Tom Brady for God's sake. He's the greatest quarterback of all time." But okay, if you're the defensive coordinator, you still got to play against him, and you got to try and figure out some way to take something away from the guy.
Yeah.
And look at the two games that they played. I think he completed like 60 passes into two games.
Yeah, and broke a sweat.
And there were only five of them that were longer than 20 yards.
Yeah.
So he just murdered you in the intermediate area, and you just seemed incapable or unwilling to try and deal with that.
Okay. So if apparently other teams decided they didn't want to watch that game and they want to hire him to be their next head coach, if he goes, there are certainly and suddenly some very respected, experienced defensive guys available.
Mm-hmm.
Brian Flores, who for reasons unknown to most mortals got fired in Miami. Vic Fangio got let go. Don Martindale left Baltimore yesterday. Mike Zimmer, the Vikings head coach, good defensive mind. All presumably available if the Jonathan Gannon leaves. Mm-hmm. Ray, I see upgrade.
Yeah. I mean, you could look at it that way. You sure could. I think Flores is probably not in the discussion. He's aiming higher. He wants to be a head coach.
Well, I hope he gets it, but we'll see how that plays out.
Yeah, no, I think he will.
This league is okay.
I think he will. I would be surprised if, with all the openings you have here, that Flores doesn't get one of them. But the other three guys are all older guys, veteran guys, who at this point, I don't see them as head coaching candidates. Vic had his shot in Denver. Didn't work out. So they're back in play, but they're back in play as DCs. They're out there for the defensive coordinator spot. And I think I like all of them. I really do like. Vic Fangio goes all the way back to the Stars, for heaven's sakes. The guy of that group I like. I really like Martindale. I think Martindale's done a very good job in Baltimore. I'm really surprised. I was very surprised that he was let go in Baltimore. I don't think he's going to be on the street very long. Mm-hmm. If by some circumstance here, Jonathan Gannon does get plucked by one of these teams to be the next head coach, then my first phone call is to Don Martindale.
Yeah.
If you're talking about a defensive coordinator that will get after the quarterback, a guy that's going to give you a lot of different looks and do a lot of different things, and not be quite as, for the lack of a better term, predictable. Martindale's your guy. I think he would. He's the kind of guy that would play the kind of defense. Let's put it this way: he's the kind of guy that would play a style of defense that Seth Joyner would like.
Ooh, linebackers coach. Mm. Well, listen. We'll see how that plays out. The Eagles fans watched the Ravens for a lot of years, and their defense was terrific for a lot of years. Let me get in a quick call here, and then we'll tell you what we have coming up in the rest of the show. Our friend Jack the Dude from Santa Barbara.
Good morning.
First of the day. Early out there, man.
Yeah, well, it's what we call cold here, but not what you guys call cold.
Mm-mm.
So, but I'm usually up early anyway. Hey, it's great to touch base with you guys. Thank you for taking the call, as always. I'm going to take my shot at talking about the Sixers, which we don't often do, but here's what I see happening. Joel Embiid, he went jelly leg last night, and that's what's going to happen to him when they have him trying to be Giannis or Jokic. He's neither, and they just have him doing too much and everybody else is standing around and they can't stop anyone. They don't have any consistent defense. So that was a sad loss last night.
Ray, we have seen Joel Embiid in previous years either run out of gas or get hurt toward the playoffs. I know neither of us is a big fan of what do they call the scheduled nights off? I forget what the nonsense is.
Load management.
Oh, load management. That's it, Ray. What are you as well? And I think Jack's got a point, though. Are you worried about Embiid kind of, playing all these minutes in January and not going to be there in April?
Thoughts cross my mind. Although I will say it appears to me, I may be wrong about this, but it appears to me he's in better shape than he was in the past. I mean, he's holding the minutes better now than he has in past years. He looks at the end of the game in the fourth quarter, he's not quite as gassed as he was before. But I think if you keep asking him to play this kind of schedule for the rest of the year, yeah, he may be out of gas by the end.
Here's my point, Ray. When he seems to, when he gets mentally and physically tired, he brings the ball down almost to his ankles, and he did it twice in a row. And that's how they lost the game. He was at the top of the key. He brings the ball down like he's a 5'6" Muggsy Bogues point guard. And they know this. They set him up. And he makes mental mistakes right there. And then he looks at the ref like, where's my foul, right? And that's the flaw in his game that I see when he gets tired. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think you make a good point, and it's worrisome. We're going to talk later in the show. Derek Bodner is going to join us, and we're going to talk kind of where they are headed this year. They're kind of stuck in limbo with, Ben Simmons not playing, so you don't get him, nor do you get anything for him. So that's the problem. Hey, Ray, I need a favor.
What's that?
Coming up in the next segment, Ray, we need to do this. I want to do this early. I need you to skin skewer the Flyers, Ray. I need you to dissect that carcass of a franchise. I need you to defenestrate the orange and black, Ray.
Hmm.
Let's get it done. Let's get it done early. Let's give them exactly what they deserve.
Well, I mean, you and I are of similar minds on this.
I know that.
You're certainly going to chime in, I would hope.
I'm going to play percussion and let you play lead. But okay. I will definitely play a loud percussion, I promise.
Okay.
All right. Also, coming up today, I think a fun what we're watching, a new and pretty good coming-of-age movie that I watched on TV this week, a great Eagles memory on our Scheib Sports This Week in Philadelphia Sports History. We'll talk Sixers, as I said, with Derek Bodner. Ray, we're going to visit with Baldy, our insider Brian Baldinger.
I always enjoy that.
Always. Smart guy. Insider Calls presented by BetQL. BetQL is here to help you make better bets through real proven analytics. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today. 215-592-9494. 215-592-9494. Oh, by the way, we're getting back to what we're watching this week. Not what we're watching. Excuse me. We always do that. We're getting back to Tell Us Your Story this week. But we're going to do it tomorrow, and Ray, fun guest tomorrow, good back in the day guest.
Oh yeah, and a guy with a long Philadelphia history and still a legend. Well, a legend all over the place, but particularly in his old hometown, Philadelphia. Earl the Pearl Monroe.
Remember the time we went to Sonny Hill's birthday party, and I didn't know. There's a guy sitting there, and I just start talking to him, and it's like, oh, obviously you played basketball in the day. He's like, yeah, I played a little bit. And it's like, hi, I'm Glenn Mack now. He goes like, hi, I'm Earl Monroe. It's like,
right. Yeah. I was a little surprised you didn't know. I mean, as soon as I walked in and saw him, I knew who it was.
He's in street clothes, an older guy. I don't know. What can I tell you? He wasn't wearing a Knicks jersey. Anyway.
Well, I knew him right away because I saw him plenty.
Yeah, I'm sure. I felt a little dumb. But he was a great guy, and we'll have him tomorrow. Ray Dinger, Glenn Mack now, Saturday morning on 94 WIP.
O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.